Hey everybody, before you listen to today's podcast, A, I hope everybody is doing well. I know this has been quite the year. And two, make sure, like right now, like stop and make sure, write this down. 212-931-5731. So much of getting the first mover advantage in my world, or to just get a random text that makes you feel better. I've been blown away by the random text to make you feel better, what that's meant to tens of thousands of you and how that's impacted your day. So if you want a smile or if you want an advantage, check me out on my text platform, 212-931-5731. Text it and follow the directions that I reply to you with. And I appreciate for all of you that have been on the community platform with me. And here is your podcast.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
Our first guest is Tom DeSanto. He's an extremely popular writer and producer known for some of the biggest movie blockbusters, including X-Men and Transformers. Tom will tell us more about how he is partnering with the CDC to challenge kids to wear a mask as they go back to school through the Heroes Wear Masks Challenge. And interestingly, according to our VaynerMedia Back to School study, this will hopefully help not only kids, but their moms, who we learned from our study are two times more fearful of their kids going back to school than their dads are. Welcome, Tom.
Thank you all very much. I feel like we are forming a real life justice league to save the planet instead of pretend. We're doing it for real, and hopefully we'll keep some kids from getting sick and bringing that home. That's what we're all here for.
So Tom, before we go into the back to school stuff, just for the audience, because I know a lot of individuals will be familiar with what you've been involved in, but maybe not necessarily you. So like just a little back to comic book fame, actually, what about a little 3 to 4 minutes on comic book number one, origin story? Like what kind of kid were you, like going over there just professionally for, because yep. I know a big percentage of the audience here from 18 to 81 years old have aspirations to do things similar to you. And I think we should spend 3-4 minutes on that and then we'll get into some of the other stuff.
Got it. You know, as Gary was a baseball card kid, like my brother Dan, I was a comic book kid. So first story I have is we were across the street at this little candy store in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and I was 3 years old. And my mom tells me I threw myself on the ground until she would buy me a Flash comic book. I couldn't even read, but I think I saw the images of the superheroes and I knew that was my inner spirit animal. And then from there, you know, I was, you know, comic books, we lived in a 4-room apartment. We were 5 people. My dad was, you know, a cop in New Jersey. We never, you know, wanted for money or anything, but we weren't wealthy. And comic books allowed me and my imagination to leave that 4-room apartment and to go to different universes and to go save the planet. When you're a little kid, I think one of the things you really want to do is make a difference on the planet, but you're small and you don't have that strength or that ability. And superheroes give you that aspirational thing. And look, if we were back in ancient Greece, we'd be teaching our kids about Hercules' arrogance and his hubris. And we would be telling them, we need to do these labors in order to learn humility. And that's what comic books are when they're done right. These are our modern myths. And then that's why I think it spoke to me in that Joseph Campbell 101 way. And if anyone doesn't know Joseph Campbell, if you really want to understand the human ability and storytelling on why humanity was always asking the same questions around the planet through their myths, even though they had no interconnection with each other, it's a great way to take that college class on your own and go look up those interviews with Bill Moyers. It will give you a massive insight into the global audience. And what's in people's hearts. So for me as a comic book kid, you know, I remember one day, I was also that kid rushing home from, you know, football practice to play Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes, you nerded out, Tom. Let's get everybody to understand. You were nerding out.
I was nerding out, and I'm living proof that your action figures can become real and pay the mortgage many times over. And that's, you know, for me, you know, that's the true success in life. You know, the one thing I would say is don't chase money. You know, money, if that is your only goal, you're always going to want more. You're never going to be happy. Don't chase success. Success you're always going to want more. And it's the same thing. But when you do what you love and you can find success and find financial freedom in that, that's where you're truly a successful person.
Because you're enjoying it instead of what it can bring to you.
Yes.
I agree.
And that thing, your 80-year-old self is going to be very happy if you live that life.
What was your big break? Because a lot of people ask me about breaks and, you know, and or moments or like, you know, that, you know, just for more, another perspective, another story for the audience.
I think for me, it was, you know, I was a kid. We moved from Elizabeth, New Jersey to this place called Island.
I know Island super. What years were you in Island?
I left Island in 1994.
Oh, perfect. So do you know the Clark, the Bradley Shopping Center in Clark, the Clark Circle? Absolutely. My dad's, the liquor, my famous story of growing up in Jersey and my dad was a stock boy in a liquor store was in Clark Circle Liquor, Shoppers Discount Liquors in that Bradley's Shopping Center.
I know exactly where that was at. They also had that video store on the corner.
That's right. That's exactly right. So like, that's that's where I grew up, is that general area, Edison, you know, 15 minute drive away.
I went to high school in Edison. So
is that right? Which one?
Yeah. I went to Bishop R, which is now St. Thomas Aquinas again. So
Tom, my backyard in Edison was in Tingley Lane. And I used to play football with my friends on Bishop R's high school field from 1982 to 1988.
So that we literally were in that same, because I,
Tom, I'm sorry to interrupt you. Like, just for everybody, because I know a lot of people watching from my world, Tom's high school was actually where I put one of my lemonade stands when I talk about my lemonades, like literally that street of Tingley Lane.
Yep.
That's and crazy.
That type of suburban area where, you know, I probably bought lemonade. I'm sure I did, because, It was that type of growing up.
Wait a minute. You graduated high school when?
86.
Got it. 86. Got it. And then you moved to 94. Yeah. Jesus Christ. That's crazy. Keep going.
Yeah. Super small world. And, you know, for me, it was, you know, I had that dream of making movies, but it's a dream. So I was working actually at JCPenney in Woodbridge Center. I was delivering pizzas. I was at Addy. My first job was washing dishes at Denny's in Avenel, New Jersey. Once you have a job like that, you appreciate any other job because that is really, really hard work. And it's honest work. And then I started taking classes. I was going to school at Rutgers and I started taking a screenwriting class at NYU at night. So I would hop on the train, I'd go in, and one of my teachers who was working with Robert De Niro at the time said I was much more of a USC writer than an NYU writer, meaning that I was much more of like a pop culture writer than going to be doing Taxi Driver. So I took all of the money I had earned from that point, which was about $5,000. I went to a summer film program at USC where I got to write and direct my own short film. And I made my teacher cry.
Wow.
After I saw the film. And that gave me the validation that, wow, I can do this. I can make someone take their
shoes in that moment. Could get somebody into your world.
Yes.
Tom, like I apologize for jumping in. I always get yelled at for interrupting, but we have so few minutes left. And so I want to get to this point. Give us the context, because we are on this kind of back to school moment. You've gone headfirst into an initiative for back to school. Please explain that to the audience and give some context.
Great. So, back in February, I was sort of seeing that the medical community was having some issues with messaging and struggling on that front. And I really thought of what Hollywood did during World War II. So I reached out to some friends I've had who worked in the government going back to the Clinton administration. These are lifelong public service people. And I said, hey, is there anything we can do teaming up? And that's, I called John Rogers. And he reached out to the CDC with the CDC Foundation. And we formed this partnership with Facts to Health. And our whole idea was, hey, let's create a hub for people, except instead of just being Hollywood, let's unlock the internet and the artists that is in everyone around the planet and their voices. And we're gonna give you the hard science. Here's the data, here are the facts. No politics, no anything. This is how we all stay healthy. This is how we all stay safe. And this is how we all keep as normal a life in a pandemic world as possible. Because there are countries that are killing it right now. like Japan. Japan has 2.9% unemployment. They have 1,200 deaths. They have no economic shutdown. Because as a culture, since the Spanish influenza in 1918, they all wear masks whenever they're feeling sick. And now everyone has the potential to infect someone else. I don't wear my mask to protect myself. That protects me this much. I wear my mask to protect you, which protects you that much. And that is why we wear a mask. You're not doing it you're not appearing weak. You're appearing strong. You know,
Tom, how difficult is it to overcome when something gets politicized, right? Because I think, you know, you're sitting here and saying very nice thing. It's very easy to I'm very common sense over politicization as a human. So like to me, I find myself on many sides of both arguments. But do you feel like once something goes full tilt politicization, it becomes real hard?
It becomes real hard, but it's not impossible. And we can't give up, you know? Yep. That's why it's like, look, there is not a report of the daily death toll of doctors and nurses who die from wearing masks because they overheat.
The good news is, because I have arguments with my friends, I find myself, back to, because I have personal views and I can sit in different sides on different things. I find myself having conversations with a lot of friends. The mask one's been easy lately with my couple friends that are trying to get their juices flowing on it with me, because I think they love the debate more than even like they have passion for it. And I said, but like everybody's kind of succumbing to this one. This one's kind of like, this is like, the world is flat used to be a political debate.
Yeah.
Like this one's kind of,
totally.
I think we're on the other side of it. I'm like razzing my buddies. I'm like, I think we're on the other side of this one.
But we're not. The LA Times.
I'm aware.
Yeah. I wish we were. I wish I could. You know.
You would agree with me though. In the last 30 days, we're appreciative of the momentum a little bit, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Totally. You know, I think, you know, when the president started embracing masks.
When you now start having to think about, wait a minute, my 9-year-old daughter is going to school. You know, from the confines of our home, it can be politicized. When your 13-year-old is going to school and your 81-year-old mother is with you still at home, all of a sudden, you might decide to put your energy on a different political issue.
Totally. And look, those stories are out there. You know, there was a story. Somebody went to a funeral a couple weeks ago, and they brought it home, and they ended up killing someone. There was a girl in her early 20s. She just wanted to go to a party. I get it. I would love us all to go back to being able to go have a beer and a movie and a ball game, but that's not the world we can intelligently live in right now. And history is watching us. And unless we handle this properly, they're going to go, wow, they really screwed that up. So the number one weapon we have is wearing a mask, washing hands, and physically distancing. Those are the three things we can do. Other than that, see, Rob is leading the way. Rob, you're going to be the Incredible Hulk in our Avengers here. So there we go. See, but honestly, it's you know, the best way we can keep it together going back to school and give people as normal a life as possible is through this. There is no debate. If you have science that says this is not effective, go recheck your facts. You know, just look at other sources. Do not trust a Facebook post when you have thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of scientists and doctors and people who devote their lives to this saying this mask is going to help keep people safe. And, you know, we're trying to prevent that story of that girl who went to that party and 4 days later she killed her grandfather.
Excuse me. I apologize. Andrea, I know you've got to bring in the next one before we get in trouble here. Tom, I could speak with you about Bishop R and Jersey and X-Men and masks all day. And I'd like to get connected offline. I really appreciate you being
absolutely. On. And if people could just tag at factstohealth.org and
spell that out slowly because I know people miss it sometimes.
Yes. Facts. FACTS, the number 2 and then health. HEALTH .org. ORG. And then do a hashtag heroes wear masks. Go to the website. It has all the information there. Gary and team, thank you so much.
Thank you, brother. We'll talk soon. Fires. Stay well.
You got it. Bye, buddy.
All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary. Today's highlighted review is Positive Brainwaves by B. Birch. No podcast is going to have 100% pertinent content to any listener. I'd recommend Gary V because in my experience, after listening the hour after hour, I'm inspired. I'm feeling positive and I'm moving in the direction I feel is important. I hope it does the same for you. Thanks to B. Birch. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.